It's that time again on Wednesday on Bears Huddle, brought to you by Tempur-Pedic, to get our view from the moon from our CSNChicago.com Bears insider John Moon Mullen, back fresh from Green Bay, and oh, what a trip that was. Yes. You know, the games at New England and at Green Bay are never going to be easy, especially facing those quarterbacks, but never easy kind of turned into two of the worst losses in franchise history. So, you know, coming back here with most people in town and around the league having at least half the nail in the Bears' coffin right now, how anxious are you to see this team come back at home where it has not been successful and see, especially at the outset, how much fight's in this dog, especially with the way they've started? You just posted a story on CSNChicago.com how awful these starts and how symptomatic that's been to this.
Yeah, you know, this will be an interesting test, first of all, from the psychological standpoint. You know, nobody likes to get booed at home. And remember, this kind of that whole thing with the fans started at halftime of the Miami game when there was a little bit of booing. They're going to come out of the tunnel this week, and it's going to cascade. So if you want to feel good about yourself, it's not going to come, you know, with the pregame introductions. So it's kind of important. You know, they've been outscored, I think, 94-7 in the past three first halves with Miami, New England, and Green Bay. They have to do something to get the crowd back. You know, Chicago wants to like its Bears, correct? True. I mean, this is not New York or Boston. So there has to be something. They need to take this. They need to change it around.
Look at that beatdown in the second quarter that they've been taking, though. I mean, it's been dominant in the first half. A lot of it rolling, you know, with these last 2 weeks. Granted, what Brady and Rodgers have done to them. But I think just feeling good about yourself, you know, first couple series and going into the halftime would work some wonders, too.
Yeah, they haven't scored in the first half of the first quarter of the last three games.
But I think what they have to do, of course, you're exactly right, is just that, you know, will they be booed when they roll out? No. I don't think the Soldier Field fans do that. They're going to give you an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Now, after that first quarter, buckle up, baby. I'm telling you. But yeah, I think that, you know, what they see is the same thing that everybody wants to see, and that's, you know, put a winning product out there on the field. You know, you've gone through all this. You lost these games and whatnot, and for whatever reason, however you decided to lose them, you've given them away in large part. Now some people want to see you taking some. So if you come back here, it's a nice way to start off with Minnesota, you know, inside the division here at Soldier Field to get it done right from the start to the end. That's the key thing. 60 minutes of football.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting. I mean, some of the guys, you know, the leadership and character question has come up over the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I've been surprised at the performance, at the level of play. I thought this was actually a pretty good team. So I look at guys like Jeremiah Ratliff, Jared Allen. These guys are not losers.
No.
These are not guys who are low character. Lance Briggs, you can make all the comments you want about the, you know, the double nickel restaurant, all that. Lance Briggs is a proud man. Mm-hmm. And you know, the level of play has been surprising that it's stayed this low that long. Now, I'm just talking about the defense. I think the offense has been shocking, but that's a whole other
situation. And that's where I keep going back to this, because I really feel like we've taken our eye off the target a little bit in terms of concentrating so much on what's been going on the offensive side of the ball and not enough about what was going on the defensive side, and that's kind of led us down to this path. I think all of Beardham was excited about, you know, what they thought this offense was going to accomplish this year. And in some parts, it's doing some things. It's working some numbers. But numbers don't mean anything if you're not playing winning football. And that's the whole issue. Are you doing what you need to do to win, not just post good numbers?
Yeah, what would you guys do? You know, it's interesting, just occurring to me, Dan, as you're talking about that. You know, Lovie used to choose if they won the coin toss based on being at home or away. If at home, maybe get my defense on the field first, shut the other guy down, and then get momentum. Well, I'm not sure what I would do in this game.
The way this team was designed, I'm thinking, put your offense on the field.
Absolutely, yes.
Put some points on the board.
That's where I'm going with this. And let them score. I think that would energize the defense to have a 7-0. They haven't had a lead for quite a while.
Did you have any particular interpretation, Moon, of when Mark, you know, after waiting a while and maybe wondering whether any moves were going to be made on the staff after the loss on Sunday night, comes in and on Monday and he says the coaching staff will remain in place at this time. Do you read tea leaves one way or another on how that is? And do you think, you know, Mark, the longest Mark has been on any NFL staff was 3 years. That happened just twice. Mm-hmm. All his other gigs in the NFL were 1 or 2 years long. Do you think his sense of loyalty and being there in terms of being on a coaching turnstile has him a little bit sympathetic towards some of the guys that he's hired on his staff.
You know, at this level, and Dan, you can speak to this too. I mean, it's a business. You know, it is, what have you done for me lately? If he really weren't satisfied with what he's seeing, yeah, I don't think it's out of just blind loyalty. I mean, he's not, he is a loyal person, but he's not going to be governed by stupidity and just sticking with something that's not working. He does believe in some of these guys. You know, we can say that's misguided, whatever we want. It's a genuine thing.
They're his guys.
Well, they are his guys.
He chose them.
Yeah.
And that's where you have to believe that, yeah, you're going to give him some rope. Mm-hmm. You got to give him that rope because you're the one that made the decision to bring him in here. Let him see what they can do. Let's see what they can do over the remainder of the season. I still think that if things don't turn around, there will be changes.
There will be changes,
made.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Well, yeah. And just not to interrupt, but the... you know, he may also look at the schedule. And I've been around teams in the past where there have been, you know, things have been bad at midseason. He may be looking and saying, you know, we've just played two of the greatest quarterbacks and teams in this league. Let's see, let's give Mel and you know, Aaron and the coordinators, let's see what we can do. Again, not to put the Vikings down because they are on a little bit of a roll. But, okay, now we're not playing Hall of Fame guys. Maybe we can rewrite ourselves, gradually bring it back together. Maybe get, you know, obviously you need to get past Lovie Smith and that bunch, or it's going to really be free fall around here. But, you know, I think Mark is giving them a chance to pull themselves up, including himself.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, you know, when you think about anything you do, you know, it's not like the coach, but in life. You think about, you know, whether it was making it.
All right, coach.
Yeah, making it through school, doing this or doing that, and how you face up to those challenges. And more importantly, I think sometimes how you address not being successful. In those situations, I think you learn a lot about yourself. And maybe this football team has learned a lot about itself. And it's time to put it to really good use by turning themselves into winners again. Mm-hmm. Because right now they're not winners. And I don't know if any guy that's ever put on an NFL uniform and lined up and didn't care about winning. If you didn't care about winning, this game is too physical. If you don't care about winning, you definitely shouldn't be out there because it's way too dangerous to do it.
Speaking of being put to the test, this Minnesota team that's coming to town definitely had that. They have the whole Adrian Peterson thing swirling around them. They started out 2-5. They have to rely on a couple of rookies in the offensive backfield. But Rick Spielman, who used to be here, he has himself 7 first-round draft picks the last 3 years, stockpiling for the future, hoping to get some blue chips in there. And Zimmer's a guy, like Trestman, thirsting for a job, paying his dues for a long period of time in this league, and he hires, you know, what is generally regarded as a pretty sharp offensive mind in Norv Turner. What are your thoughts on what they've done up there, even though I know you probably haven't seen them as much as you would have liked?
Yeah, it's funny. I have actually taken a look. I really watched Mike Zimmer a lot with Cincinnati. I think he's an excellent coordinator.
Yes, he is.
What I find kind of intriguing, and talking with Teddy Bridgewater today about this, is he's a defensive coach who has brought a defensive mindset to the offense. So he's got Norv Turner, who's worked, you know, brought guys like Troy Aikman along. And he's even shown film of Aikman and RG3 to Teddy Bridgewater as part of his education. You know, if Zimmer and has brought this toughness to the offense. I mean, this is the 7th-ranked team in rushing average without Adrian Peterson. And, you know, they're a top 10 yardage defense. This is not a pushover, and they've gotten tough.
Yeah, and look at where they, you know, over the years where they've been putting their capital. You know, look at that offensive line. They've started to develop that again. And it wasn't but about maybe 6 or 7 years ago. That was one of the serious strengths of this football team. And now they've, you know, kind of gotten back. They've been trying to rebuild that. The defensive side, they've lost the Williams brothers, as we always used to call them. So that was a force. They were a force inside, you know, and now, you know, they're just trying to rebuild the puzzle on the fly. But I think all in all, you know, you look at what Rick's done up there, and there's some good things. Probably one of the best things he did probably was get rid of Percy Harvin.
Yes, I mean, addition by subtraction. Which
now everybody's getting
now. See, everybody's getting. Hey, you haven't gotten rid of Percy Harvin. You're not
there,
right? Yeah. In terms of that Minnesota offense, they're 26th in points per game, only averaging about 19 right now. But they are 10th rated rushing team, even though Adrian Peterson played just one game for them. This kid McKinnon and Matt Asiata, who is their red zone guy or their short yardage guy, has really been pounding it in. So it's something to be aware of.
How much do you think of, you know, as we look at what teams do down near the goal line, especially? How much do you think they're limited by how few teams actually carry fullbacks anymore? Because remember then, you used to get down to the goal line, load it up, you have your lead back into your fullback, and just go to hammering people.
It's all about spreading it out now,
It's all about spreading it out, going, you know, getting the corner to corner of the field covered. And they're just not doing that. Some teams not doing that any longer.
Yeah, you'd rather get another 6'4" receiver and run an end zone fade or things like that, or spread the field and then have a guy like Matt Forte.
But there's going to come that time. Yeah. Well, you're going to have to be able to pound it.
And that's what this guy, Matt Asiata, did.
That's exactly right.
Three touchdown games in his career, two coming this year. AP, the leader, of course. The old Chuck Foreman had a couple of three touchdown
games.
Remember
Chuck Foreman with the old
back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
The spin
move. Good old number 44, number one in your hearts, but
that's
number
right.
44 in a purple people right. eater uniform.
Moon, thanks for jumping on with us. We will see you at home. Home game.
We'll do that.
On
no
Sunday
road
morning
trip this week.
On
nice.
Pre-game.
Yes, exact. Bingo.
Our Bears insider, John Moon Mullen from CSNChicago.com. When we come back, Jared Allen, it's always tough facing your exes sometimes. We'll see how he feels about facing his ex
all
for the
exes.
First time since changing his colors from purple to navy blue.
All his exes live in Minnesota.
You're talking about football players right here.